Listen and stream the all-new talk radio Freedom 106.5 for the only talk that matter.
So we continue along with our discussions right here in Freedom 106.5 FM. And as promised, we have a very special interview and we'll be talking about the Youth Agricultural Sheed House Project. So joining us this morning at this point in time, we've got Raquel Bisoun and we've got Kirby Gill. So Ms. Raquel Bisoun is the project coordinator from the Ministry of Youth Development and National Service, and she's the program coordinator, as mentioned there, for the Agricultural Sheed House Project under the ministry, specializing in finance, big data, and fintech, with responsibility for developing systems to govern the implementation of the program, providing overall management of the program, coordinating, and look more or less looking at all the nitty-gritty details of it. We've also got Kirby Gill, an entrepreneur, and a young entrepreneur with a deep-seated aspiration to making a positive impact in the lives of persons here in Trinidad and Tobago. Possessing an innovative mind, he attributes his academic foundation to UTT, Eastern Caribbean Institute of Agriculture and Forestry, where he obtained his Bachelor's in Agriculture and Entrepreneurship. It was during this time that his interest in food security for the country would have been nurtured. His ultimate goal, to utilize his experience and expertise to introduce modern-day approaches to farming, thereby improving the lives of farmers and making agricultural practices more efficient for us. His vision is to inspire and encourage the new generation of youths to embrace the field of agriculture, thereby shaping a brighter future for the industry. Good morning. How are you today?
Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Kirby and I are using one device. Thank you so much for having us again.
Great. It's a pleasure to have you here with us. So I hope all is well with you. So firstly, let's dive right into the topic. What exactly is the Youth Agricultural Sheed House Program?
So the Youth Agricultural Sheed House Program is a youth-focused program that equips young persons with the requisite skills and knowledge in shade house, in modern farming techniques. It is unique because it promotes the agricultural cooperative's business to produce high-value short-term crops. It is a one-year full-time program which started in September 2022 in collaboration with the University of the West Indies, and successful participants upon completion will be certified in shade house production and management.
So when we speak about shade house production, what exactly does that entail? Is it a type of production method, a type of farming method? What kind of products or produce can be used with this sort of initiative?
So basically, a shade house is a horticultural structure that is designed to protect plants from the harsh UV rays of the sun, heat, excessive light, and water loss. So it is a method of protective farming. Various short-term crops can be grown, like different varieties of lettuce, pak choy, kale, cucumber. The shade house is most important for like crops like tomatoes and sweet peppers. So yeah, so it's a different method of protective farming.
Right. So is it similar to like a greenhouse, more or less?
It is similar with regards to the idea of protective farming. However, it has an opposite effect, where the greenhouse is more suited for like colder climates, okay, and the shade house is better suited for our tropical climate.
Oh, great, great. So using those same protective agricultural methods, but adjusting it and adapting it to our local environment and weather patterns and so on.
That's correct.
All right, great. So in terms of the program, as we continue along, what are the specific needs that the program is seeking to fulfill at this point in time?
What we would seek to obtain through via this program is we would provide a reliable supply of high-value short-term crops, some of which Kirby would have mentioned just now. We would seek to reduce the national food import bill and promote food security. We would also revitalize agricultural cooperatives in Trinidad and Tobago and promote youth in farming.
Okay, right. So you indicated that the program would have taken place firstly last year, was it?
Yes, we took our first cohort of 100 students last year, September.
Right. So, okay. So we're more or less a couple months into it, not just a year as yet, and 100 participants. Are you able to give us an idea in terms of how they have taken up this challenge with the project? What are some of the milestones that they would have achieved so far? Are you able to give us a status update on that?
So far, they would have attained the skill set in shade house production. We aim to be a reliable source of high-value short-term crops producers for the food industries.
Right.
We aim to revitalize the National Food Import Bill and promote food security. So far,
as at now, some of the students would have gained practical knowledge in crop husbandry practices for shade houses, fundamentals of entrepreneurship, value addition, post-harvest management techniques. So those are some of the courses they would have engaged in right now. And the students have been very successful at their time at the university. They are currently engaged in the practical aspect of the course, where they are doing some hydroponic systems.
Oh, nice.
So far, we are creating young entrepreneurs already.
Right. So you've given them the foundation in terms of the theoretical understandings, and now shifting to the practical aspect of actually going out there and engaging in some of these initiatives. And I think it's pretty interesting that it's using the hydroponic system as well, because I think that offers different levels of protection from in terms of growing directly on the ground. I know that ending up of last day, we would have had skyrocketing prices because of a lot of flooding that we had all over the country, and so on and so forth. So do you think that it, in the near, not too distant future, that with initiatives like these, we could, you know, try to get a better control in terms of some of the local prices that we've been seeing and the effects of flooding has had on agriculture?
Most definitely.
Yeah. All right. So we got to take a break in a short while. But before that, what are the major take homes for the program? I know that you mentioned that we want to look at reducing the food import bill and contributing towards giving more variety and, I guess, more sustainable and more reliable availability of products for the local market as well. But aside from that, are there also perhaps avenues further along for export markets? In terms of the administrative and policy side of things, what are some other takeaways that the program is seeking to achieve as well?
Some of the other benefits the program would achieve is we would create sustainable employment in the agricultural sector. And of course, there are significant entrepreneurship opportunities. In terms of exporting, we are not at that stage, but we definitely see that we would be satisfying a demand in the market.
Agreed. All right. Thanks so much for weighing in on that. I think that's an interesting one, because we definitely have to at least fulfill our requirements domestically first, and then look on to maybe regional and maybe even further afield international things as well. So the program would have been launched in September with 100 participants so far. Will there be another tranche of this program coming up soon?
Yes. As of now, we have applications open for our second cohort. The applications will close June the 16th. And we would have, after this, so there will be three tranches. We would run this program for a period of 3 years. Our first year started, we are now going into our second year, and then the third year would be sometime next year around this time.
Right, so it's three tranches for this first installment of it, because I'm thinking there would be some sort of assessment thereafter, and probably future rollouts as well.
Yeah, so as of now, yes, three tranches of 100 students. So over the three-year period, we would have targeted or injected 300 young farmers into the agricultural sector.
Right, okay. So when you say 300 young farmers, what particular age group are we looking at with that categorization?
We are looking at the ages of 16 to
35. 16 to 35. Okay, great. All right, so we'll continue on with our discussions right here with the Youth Agricultural Shade House Project. We have on with us Kirby Gill and Ms. Raquel Bisoun right here on Freedom 106.5. Don't touch that dial.
Listen and stream the all-new talk radio, Freedom 106.5, for the only talk that matter.
Welcome back, Freedom 106.5 FM. We continue along with our discussions right here on the show, and of course, reminding you, we're joined by special guests as we talk about today, the Youth Agricultural Shade House Project. We've got with us Mr. Kirby Gill and Ms. Raquel Bisoun. So, before the break, we were talking about what the project is about, and so far, 300 young farmers between the ages of 16 to 35 have been inculcated in this project. Now, we spoke about a lot of the areas why the program would have been developed in terms of employment, in terms of contributing to food security, reducing the food import bill, and you know, a lot of benefit that the program could yield. Now, I know, Ms. Raquel, that you are you have a lot of experience with big data and so on. I'm wondering, in terms of the age group, because I think traditionally agriculture, as far as I'm aware, has kind of been a bit more preferential for some of the older folk. Although we do have the UTT program and other programs that, you know, have a lot of young people getting involved in agriculture. But has there been that sort of radical shift or that changing of the mindset for the young ones of today and maybe for future generations to get involved in agriculture? Is agriculture a hot topic? Is it attractive for young ones to take advantage of? And is this program one such initiative to be productive and attractive in the eyes of the young ones of today?
So that's one of the reasons why the program was developed. It's because we have an aging farming population, and therefore we need to make programs like these more attractive to young persons, right, which is why we have engaged in farming, utilizing modern farming techniques. As Kirby would have said, the shade house production is a modern farming technique that's used to protect, to offer extra protection to crops from the elements.
Right. So this definitely is one such measure, right? Okay, so looking at, as we continue along, what are some of the benefits for this program that the young ones can take advantage of?
So participants can benefit by getting practical training in shade house production and management. Mm-hmm. They will gain exposure to agricultural cooperative model for the production and sales of high-valued short-term crops for the hospitality, healthcare, and fast food sectors. Sustainable employment in the agricultural sector, and they would gain a significant entrepreneurship opportunities.
All right. And as we move along, for persons that may be, you know, interested in taking part in the program, how can they go about, you know, getting more information about the program?
They can visit our ministry's website at www.mydns.gov.tt. You click on the Shade House banner and you'll get all the relevant information.
Right. Can you repeat the website again?
www.mydns.gov.tt.
Right. Okay. So what about some of the requirements for the program as well? Can you give us a bit of detail with respect to that?
So with regards to the requirements, well, as we stated earlier, persons must be of the ages between 16 to 35 years. Mm-hmm. They must be a national, so a citizen of Trinidad and Tobago, possess at least 3 CSEC passes, or they could have evidence of showing a keen interest in agriculture.
Right. Okay. So, but in terms of a keen interest in agriculture, what kind of, you know, metrics would you use, you know, just to kind of clarify that for the average listener there?
So, they could upload different pictures of themselves doing farming.
Oh, okay. Right. All right. Great. And in terms of some of the opportunities that the program would extend to the participants, because you said that I believe is going to give them exposure to entrepreneurship and some of the agribusiness processes and so on. Can you give us a little bit more detail in terms of that?
Can you repeat the question again for me,
sure,
please?
Sure, no problem. So in terms of some of the benefits that the program would deliver to the participants, reference would have been made to, you know, entrepreneurial or entrepreneurship opportunities and exposure to agribusiness processes and so on. Can you give us some examples of what that would take the form of?
So when they move on to the practical aspect of the program, they would be farming inside shade houses at Tucker Valley in Chagaramus. What we would have set up there is facilities like an agro-processing facility and an agricultural cooperative that would be responsible for the marketing and the finances of the business. So when the students produce their crops inside of these shade houses, it would then be sold to organization through the agricultural cooperative to organizations within the hotel industries, grocery, supermarket chains, and restaurant outlets. So that's one of the major benefits that participants have. They have access to shade houses to farm, and then they have an access to a market.
Oh, great. So you're providing that element of supply chain support then? In terms of industries,
yes.
Tourism and hotel and so on. Okay, great. So that's really nice, because a lot of times we do have, you know, farmers that have a lot of products, produce on their hands, and not necessarily a market for it. So it's really commendable that's another part of the program as well. Now, are there possible linkages for other programs that are existing, such as, you know, the ADB, NAMDEFCO? Do you provide, you know, that linkage or that support for, you know, future development for the participants thereafter the program is completed?
Of course. As of now, we are in exploratory discussions with the ADB so that students who do not wish to be members of the cooperative can receive loan financing from the ADB. In terms of NAMDEFCO, we have students in the program who are already linking with NAMDEFCO and practicing what they have learned from the university and marketing through the NAMDEFCO agency.
Right. So in terms of the age group that you mentioned, 16 to 35, and you mentioned nationals, and having at least 3 CSEC passes and so on, and having an interest in agriculture, definitely. What about persons that may already be engaged in some sort of agricultural activity, if they have maybe a small backyard farm, or maybe a small plot of land that they have been developing crops and so on? Can they also apply for this program? Would they be eligible for that?
Yes, of course.
Okay. What about like those small and medium ones that may have, let's say, a couple acres under their production? Are they still able to apply for this as well
within that age?
Okay, so it's not limited to persons that may already be engaged in that production.
You see, because we are looking at the persons with the keen interest. So the keen interest, it isn't subjected to any limit.
Okay.
Once you have the interest, you can learn about the technology, and we are glad to accommodate everyone.
Right. Because I'm thinking that if someone already is engaged in, you know, some sort of farming, whether it's small or micro or medium even, it may kind of better their chances because they already have a kind of first-hand knowledge and their skills could be heightened or enlightened a bit further through the engagement of the program.
Of course.
Yeah. All right, great. So other than the website, are there any other methods or so that persons can reach out to yourselves or the program to get more information or maybe apply as well?
They can contact 612-9367 extension 6007. So the number again, that's 612-9367 extension 6007. They could also visit all of the MyDNS, that's Ministry of Youth Development and National Service social media platforms, where they'll be able to get more information. So some of the platforms, just to name a few, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube.
Definitely, because I mean the age group that you're looking at, 16 to 35, will definitely be on all of these social media platforms, and yeah, it's probably the easiest way to reach out to them as well. In terms of, you know, sharing the artwork and flyers and all those things to their friends and so on and so forth. So pretty interesting program. The next one, you said that the enrollment is now on and this is going to be continuing until sometime in June?
16th of June, yeah.
16th of June. All right. So at this point in time, anybody could jump onto the website once they fulfill the requirements and so on. And apply. Is there anything else that is required for them in terms of documentation for registration and so on?
In terms of documentation, they are required to upload like their birth certificate, a form of national identification, so your ID card, driver's permit or passport. You need a letter of recommendation. Your academic certificates are not mandatory. So those are just a couple of the documentation that's required completing the registration form.
Now, what about, because sometimes, I mean, persons get themselves in all sorts of situations. What if someone may have some sort of arrest on their record or so? Will this impede the person's chance for getting involved in the program?
We do request a certificate of character. But I wouldn't say it impedes them from getting into the program, because we have engaged the Police Youth Club to help us with some applications.
Okay, sure. We've got a lot of persons that are listening and calling in as well, but I'll take a couple of questions on WhatsApp. One question for you refers to the size of the shade houses. Can you give us some idea in terms of the size of the shade houses that are used for the projects?
So the sizes of the shade houses are 8 by 31 meters.
Okay, 8 by 31 meters. All right.
And inside of the shade houses, they would be planting in grow boxes. There's 12 grow boxes inside of each shade house.
Okay, so each contains 12, right? And will the 300 persons that have been part of the program so far be given a shade house on the completion, the successful completion of the program? That was the second question that came in.
No, we are not giving all the shade houses. They would be allowed, as long as they are members of the agricultural cooperative, to farm inside of the shade houses.
Oh, okay. So they're getting access to use the facility, more or less, and the infrastructure,
yes,
that you have in place. Okay. All 300,
yes,
is it? All 300 persons?
All 300 persons, yes, as long as they would like to be members of the cooperative.
Of the cooperative, okay. And in terms of being a member of the cooperative, can you give us a little bit of details in terms of that as well?
We are currently still, okay, so when they become students, more details will be given in terms of registering and becoming members of the cooperative.
Okay, sure. So that's part of the ongoing process of the program as well.
Yes.
All right, great. Are there any other points of the program that you would like to share with our listeners? Because I know that Ms. Bisoon is only able to stay with us until... I think Mr. Gill is only able to stay with us until 10 a.m. today. So I'll pass it on to you, Mr. Gill, if you may want to, you know, share your experience as a young person involved in agriculture to inspire those that are listening about being part of the program.
So, really and truly, you could teach a man to fish and you would make him a fisher of men, right? So you give him a fish once, you would just like give him the practice of getting and receiving. So what we are looking to do, is to create farmers. So we are teaching you to farm. So we would be creating agriculturists of the future. So that is what we're looking at so far.
Okay, thank you so much. That, of course, Mr. Kirby Gill, entrepreneur and part of the program. We'll be right back here on Freedom 106.5 FM. We're talking about Youth Agricultural Shade House Project. We've got with us Ms. Raquel Bisoon from the unit, and joining us when we come back as well, Professor Mark Widivira from the University of the West Indies. This is Freedom 106.5 FM.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com. freedomonline.com.
And welcome back to Freedom 106.5 FM. It is now 10:04 in the Republic of Trinidad and Tobago. We continue along with our discussions this morning here on Freedom 106.5 FM. So we spoke to Mr. Gill, Kirby Gill, entrepreneur, and Ms. Raquel Bisun, program coordinator for the Agricultural Trade House Project at the Ministry of Youth and Development earlier on today, thanking them again for their time with us. And as we continue along, very special guest, Professor Mark Wudivira. Good morning to you, Professor. It's a pleasure to be speaking with you. How are you today?
Good morning, Mr. Gobin.
All right, great. So it's definitely a pleasure.
Thank you very much.
You're most welcome.
Listening audience, thank you.
So for our listeners, our professor is, of course, professor of Agri, Environmental, Soil Physics, and Dean of the Faculty of Food and Agriculture at the University of the West Indies St. Augustine campus. He's an outstanding researcher and internationally sought-after expert. His research agenda on soil physical management and sustainable use of humid tropical ecosystems have generated various publications in international journals as well. He's on the editorial board as chair of the Tropical Agriculture Journal and an associate editor of the Journal of Plant Nutrition and Soil Science. He is also a fellow of the Caribbean Academy of Sciences. So welcome again, Professor. It's definitely a pleasure to have you with us today. Now, with your capacity as the Dean of the Faculty of Food and Agriculture, what is your vision for the faculty?
Thank you again, Govin, and your listening audience. It is really my pleasure to be here on this very prestigious radio station, and very popular indeed. And my vision, as you would have asked, my vision as the Dean of the Faculty of Food and Agriculture is to make the faculty. I became Dean in 2021, August to be precise, August 1st, 2021. And when I became Dean, I said, one thing that must happen is for the Faculty of Food and Agriculture to be the conduit of strategic agri-food and environmental transformation in the Caribbean. Because, of course, it's a faculty in the University of the West Indies, which is a regional university. And so we're seeking to build a modern, strong, and sustainable agri-food system that is driven by science, technology, and innovation for food and nutrition security in a safe and resilient Caribbean environment. That is very, very important, because we know the issue of the intractable issues that we're faced with: food security, climate change, and so on. So it is important that our focus must be on this very important issue of food and nutrition security. And it must be done sustainably in a resilient environment.
It definitely is.
Go ahead.
It's definitely a huge undertaking, because I'm sure we would have all had to face and deal with some of the problems with perhaps inadequate or not at optimum levels of food security throughout the region, with all of the situations that occurred during the height of the COVID-19 pandemic, then following that the Russian invasion of Ukraine, with various issues affecting the supply chain and possible disastrous effects it could have had for small islands such as those found in the Caribbean, Trinidad and Tobago being one of them. So it's definitely a huge undertaking. But what are some of the academic programs that are currently available through your faculty, and those that are definitely aligned to your vision for the faculty as well?
Right. So as a faculty, like I mentioned, we have this very enormous mandate, a mandate that has been given to us by the University of the West Indies to provide training and capacity building in agriculture and related disciplines in the wider Caribbean. And so what we have been doing is to provide this quality education, training, and research towards sustainable improvement of the region's food and nutrition security, as I would have mentioned. And we want to do it in a sustainable or in a resilient environment. And based on, because I just want to speak a little bit before I go into the programs. Of course, I'm sure. Building this up so that we can appreciate what I'm talking about here. We have a pay degree. The Faculty of Food and Agriculture has a very strong pay degree, a very rich one, that has spanned a period of over 100 years, which would have stemmed from the Imperial College of Tropical Agriculture that was founded in 1921 instead. So that is to tell you, if the University of the West Indies is celebrating 75 years of existence, it means that the faculty and its predecessors or its precursors would have been here before the University of the West Indies. So the faculty actually formed the foundation stone of the St. Augustine campus. And because of that, like I said, there's a very rich history of what we would have done, building communities, building nations, because we have our graduates that have gone ahead, different walks of life. They have excelled as scientists, great scientists. Of course, you would have heard of one of our graduates, graduated in 1971 from this faculty and would have won the 2021 World Food Prize. We can boast of a Nobel laureate that, you know, actually graduated from this faculty. And we have leaders in the political arena and other walks of life where our graduates would have excelled. And of course, if you look at the issue of food and nutrition security, or food, agri-food generally, the system itself, if you look at it in the Caribbean, the major players would have been graduates. Most of the major players, not all of them, of course, there will be others from other places, but most of the graduates in this Caribbean region would have been graduates, or most of the experts rather would have been graduates from the Faculty of Food and Agriculture. And so it is because of the reputation of our programs, we can boast of quality programs that, you know, their standard, their quality is undisputable. And so we have three departments. We operate from three departments. We have the Department of Agricultural Economics and Extension. We have the Department of Food Production. We have the Department of Geography. And of course, from these departments, you will know that we have very unique departments, but they are very complementary. And our programs are run through these departments. The undergraduate program, some of the undergraduate programs that we have are our BSc in agriculture. We also have a BSc in human nutrition and dietetics, of course, a BSc in agriculture, agribusiness management, environmental and natural resource management. We also have a BSc in entrepreneurship, in family and consumer sciences, in nutritional sciences. We actually have a new program on disaster risk resilience for agriculture and the environment. That one is starting this coming academic year.
Oh, wow.
We also have another one on applied GIS for sustainability. That's applied geographical geographic information systems for sustainability. So those are the undergraduate programs. And apart from this very important undergraduate programs that are well aligned to the vision that I would have mentioned, we also have our postgraduate programs, we have our MSc programs, we have our postgraduate diploma programs in tropical animal science and production, in tropical crop protection, in value addition for food and nutrition security. We also have our MSc in agri-food safety and quality assurance, in food, MSc in food security, in MSc in agricultural economics. We also have MSc's in marketing and agribusiness, and postgraduate diplomas in pesticides technology and management, and also a postgraduate diploma in climate resilient agricultural extension and community. And apart from this taught postgraduate programs, we also have research degrees, which are MPhils and PhDs. We have MPhils and PhDs in agricultural economics, in human ecology, in agricultural extension, in geography, in soil science, in crop science, horticultural science, livestock science, tropical earth and environmental science, and also in cocoa science. So these are some of the wide-ranging programs that we have at the Faculty of Food and Agriculture.
It's definitely a lot. I think it's really commendable as well, the new program that's coming up in the academic year, treating with, you know, natural disasters and climate change and all of those things as well. And because just last year, we would have had a couple months well of flooding and so on. Now, how do you think the faculty and so on and some of the initiatives and programs could work in tandem with projects such as the agricultural shade house project? Do you think it's complementary? Could it assist thereafter with, you know, the developments and so on?
Right. Definitely. And talking about our collaboration with MyDNS, that's the Ministry of Youth Development and National Service. Of course, our effort has been to talking about the vision that I would have mentioned, our effort is to equip our youth to appreciate and to understand that we have a responsibility to feed ourselves. We have a responsibility in this very unique terrain that we have been blessed with. Very diverse, very unique, very special, because, I mean, the soils that we have here are very unique. The the ecosystem that we have, very unique and very special, that you cannot find in anywhere. We are in a region that has a lot of biodiversity. And so, because of that, and of course, we also understand the vulnerability that we are exposed to. Of course, there's no region, probably in the whole world, that has exposure, vulnerability to natural and hydroclimatic disasters like we are. And so because of that, it is, and because of all that has been happening, because you would have mentioned the issue of COVID-19, the disruption in the supply chain, the wars that are going on, and so on, we have been impacted significantly. And if you speak about climate change, we do not really contribute anything much to the changing climate, but we receive the most impact. Receive the most impact. So which means we have to now develop ways we have to look for adaptation strategies in order to cope with this changing climate, in order to cope with what is happening around us.
So, Professor,
I want to tell you.
Go ahead. So, Professor, do you think that these shade houses or this shade house project, we're using agriculture through the use of these shade houses, do you think that that will be a productive measure? Or I know it's put out as a protective measure or agricultural measure that's a bit more protective for the crops and so on. Do you think that this could lend to greater food security and perhaps less losses incurred by the farmers and so on because of all of the climate situations that we have, that we are encountering on a more or less day-to-day basis?
Certainly, because when you have your crops in the open field, of course, those crops are exposed to the to the whims and the caprices of all the climatic elements. And so the shade house now provides the protected kind of agriculture. It increases the resilience of the farmer.
Now, So I want to pivot a bit in terms of the program itself focuses on trying to attract persons between the ages of 16 to 35. And I know it's probably the same catchment that you are approaching for the Faculty of Food and Agriculture as well.
Correct.
Now, traditionally, I mean, agriculture over the years have kind of taken a backseat in the mind of the young ones because everybody's trying to get that quote unquote 8 to 4 kind of job in an office and those sort of things. Can you shed some light in terms of how attractive agriculture is now to youth of Trinidad and Tobago?
Right. And that is something that is very important. And you're very right. Agriculture has taken a backseat. Agriculture has been pushed aside. And it is because of wrong perceptions, it's because of misconceptions about what agriculture is. Agriculture is science. Agriculture is innovation. Agriculture is technology. But when you speak about agriculture, and I'm telling you, I have been baffled myself by the conception, by the perception that even some of my colleagues at the university, where you would have expected much appreciation of what is happening around them. But I'm always shocked when I hear some of my colleagues speak, when you mention agriculture, and you understand that there's no appreciation. People still don't understand what agriculture is all about. And what we are trying to do is to renounce that demeaning status quo. Because it is a status quo that has been created and people seem to embrace it. Oh, agriculture is somebody that is out there under the sun doing, throwing some seeds and whatever. That is agriculture is beyond that. Agriculture, like I said, is technology. And that's what we are trying to demonstrate to this youth through the Shade House program or project.
Now,
so that they will see that agriculture is beyond just what we used to know or what we have been told about.
So there's definitely the potential for a lot of growth and so on. And one of the points I think you and both the representatives from the unit as well for the Agricultural Shade Program would have mentioned, it's an initiative geared towards reducing the food import bill. Now, I know that the CARICOM heads of government are hopeful of reducing the food import bill, I think, for the region by 25% in the next couple of years. Do you think this is feasible? And do you think that initiatives such as the Youth Agricultural Shade House Project can contribute to this in a meaningful way?
It is a step in the right direction to have that target. And all hands must be on deck. And that is why the Ministry of Youth Development and National Service would have come up with these programs. And of course, our collaboration. And of course, the ministry would have realized that we can't do this all by ourselves. We need to engage the university. And of course, the university is here to provide all the support that is required in building capacity, in providing training, and in getting the youth appreciate the relevance of agriculture as a source of livelihood, as you know, as something that they can do in order to benefit themselves and to benefit national development as well. So the faculty has been working on a number of collaborative efforts.
As you mentioned that, Professor, can you expand on maybe some of the other collaborations between the faculty and the MIDNS as well?
Right. So apart from the Shade House production and management program, or the Shade House project, we are also engaged in a partnership on training youths in aquaculture and aquaponics. We are also engaged in training the youths in hydroponics, in beach camp, and a number of other initiatives that we are working about. In fact, we are working on a sensitization program with the Ministry of Ministry of Youth and National Development, where we are going to showcase technology. We are going to. This is something that is been planned in the next few months. We are going to have it right here at the University of the West Indies, where we'll have display of technologies from youth, from the Shade House, those that are doing the Shade House program, those that will be doing the aquaculture program, and other youths across the country to come and showcase, so that others will see and know that, yes, all hands are on deck for us to get this right and to ensure our food security.
So, Professor,
is going on.
So you mentioned a lot on technology. Now, in terms of the Caribbean, we are known as small island developing states. We literally have small spaces. Most of us are islands, with the exception of Guyana, that has a pretty large landmass, and so on. Do you think these types of production systems or methods are best suited for our limited land capacity, and as well the exposure to a lot of the vulnerabilities? I mean, we are prone to hurricanes, which can wipe out a number of crops. We are prone to flooding. We have earthquakes, all sorts of things. Do you think these production systems are the best for us at this point in time?
Right. And talking about production systems, I, you see, most times we think that everything that comes from abroad can be applied broadly. But we have found out that that is totally wrong, because we always believe, oh, it is coming from Europe. This technology is coming from wherever, and so on. And because of that, we overlook what our scientists are developing right here. We are here as scientists that understand the landscape, understand the environment, understand the ecosystem. And so we develop technologies that are suitable for our own environment. I remember recently there were some greenhouses that were brought from abroad. And those greenhouses were not suitable for our environment. I don't know whether you would have realized that at the point there were all kinds of greenhouses all over the place, and so on.
Right.
And it was because they were not suitable to our environment. We are a humid tropical country.
Definitely.
So all those environmental conditions must be taken into consideration. And so this technology, the shade house technology that we are applying, is one that is suitable to our environment, and one that we are putting it that will be climate resilient, resilient to all the the vulnerabilities that we are exposed to.
Right. I think
it's to minimize that.
Yeah, I think it's very strategic, and that's how it should be, because just because something may work in Europe or somewhere else doesn't necessarily mean that it may just clear-cut fit our situation here, because we have different situations that contribute to it as well. Now, I understand that the Youth Agricultural Shade House Project, in this current rollout, it's a new initiative. It's going to produce 300 young farmers in terms of addition to the current agricultural sector and so on. And you did mention that it's a step in the right direction. After, a couple of decades of agriculture gradually losing momentum and appeal and so on. Now, as the dean, Okra, with agriculture, I mean, it's your life work and so on, and you did point out it's a step in the right direction. What do you think you would like to see for not just this program for agriculture, but for the program in the future, if you were to continue seeing growth and development of the program in terms of a number of output farmers and so on? What would you like to see in the not too distant future? At this point, we're producing 300. What would you like to see?
What I want to see is sustainability. Sustainability is very, very crucial. It is not just about getting excited about an initiative, but we must sustain it. And sustainability will come if we are able to adjust with the changing environment, because we know that things are not going to be the same. And when I speak about environment, I'm not just talking about the natural environment. I'm talking about, other effects that could come. So our ability to, to be flexible and adapt to changing situations is crucial in the sustainability of what we do. And of course, our collaboration is critical. When it gets to a point where we start looking at ourselves as competitors rather than institutions that complement themselves, then we undermine the whole system. And so our collaboration, our partnerships will be very critical going forward. And we must understand the role of science, the role of technology, the role of innovation in what we are doing. And this must receive, and when I speak about collaboration, I'm not just talking about collaboration between the university and the public sector, but the private sector too must come in.
Mm-hmm.
So, and, together we can get this going in the right direction.
Well said,
so
Professor.
That's
definitely
what I want to see.
Well, we've just scratched the surface of it, but our time has come to an end. I want to thank you so much, Professor, and commend you and, of course, the members of the MyDNS team for working together in collaboration. And you mentioned sustainability, and I think we are off to a good start because the officials from the unit as well also mentioned that they have the cooperative going and getting the support from the Faculty of Food and Agriculture and yourselves and the experts there. as well as NAMDEVCO and all of those other agencies working together to, you know, really make a dent in terms of addressing food security. So again, I want to thank you so much for joining us, and we'll definitely have to speak with you again, Professor, right here on Freedom 106.5. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate this wonderful moment with you and your listeners. Thank you.
Thank you so much. You're most welcome. So that, of course, wraps up our interview this morning right here on Freedom 106.5 FM. Of course, joining us there, Dean, for the Faculty of Food and Agriculture at the University of the West Indies St. Augustine Campus, Professor Mark Woodivera, joining us today, telling us all about Youth Agricultural Shade House Project and their collaborations with, of course, the university there, getting the insight. So you could visit www.mydns.gov.tt. That website again, mydns.gov.tt. You could also call 612-9367 extension 6007. That's extension 6007. Of course, the number again, 612-393-3967. Sometimes my own handwriting gets the better of me. And of course, you could jump onto all the social media handles for the ministry to get more information about the Youth Agricultural Shade House Project.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.